Dalad Tishrei, Thursday the 3rd of October, Rabbi Shlomi Weiss. Past and Bishul Yisrael, old versus modern. The Ravita query.
Ravita, not past Yisrael. So it's on the back end.
Okay, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Obviously, the topics of Pas and Bishul Yisrael are huge. Actually, it's quite a self-contained sugya in terms of if you go through the Gemaras, it's relatively in one place. however, there is a lot of discussion in the Rishonim and the Achronim, and almost people saying the opposites of each other in terms of Svara. And obviously, I can't cover everything today, but I'd like to pick on a certain few points in Pas and then move on. There's a bit of a crossover, some places where there's an interplay, and then move on to Bishul. So I thought I'd start with something, a nice idea. We're all familiar, the last siman in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah is a very famous Shulchan Aruch. He brings from the Rishonim, it's originally a Ravya, the Avi Ezri, who says that even someone who is not careful during the year to eat pas akum, or some have a girs in the Shulchan Aruch, pas kutim, during the Seder Mei Teshuva should be careful to have only pas Yisrael. So we're quite a well-known halacha, it gets mentioned in a few drushas around this time of year. So why particularly this chumrah? I mean, some pick up on the fact that actually the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say pas palta, which we're going to get to and say what is pas palta. He says pas akum, which is an interesting point. But why this chumrah? So, obviously, in days gone by, people used to eat bread, and that was very often all they ate. That was their meal. If they were lucky, they managed to teat it with something, dip it in something, or spread something on it. That was the. And then, obviously, only the upper classes, they would have a bit more of a variety. But and also, as we'll hopefully get to, this was a chumrah which was actually difficult to accomplish in days gone by. So you couldn't just pop down the road to your Jewish bakery or your local Jewish supermarket and get pas Yisrael. So that's one understanding. But one of my father's rebbeim, Reb Simcha Lieberman Zatzal, pointed out something very interesting. If we look in the Gemara, we just went through Tzom Gedalia. So Tzom Gedalia happens after Chum Bayis Rishon. A little bit beforehand, I think about 11 years beforehand, Daniel was exiled, a little bit just before Yechoniah. I think it was already when Nebuchadnezzar came to attack Yoyakim, I believe. And he exiled quite a number of people, and Daniel was one of them. And we got the beginning of Sefer Daniel, we talk about how he selected a group of Jewish young men to be sort of his courtiers, and quite well known the story of Daniel. Daniel decides he's not going to drink the wine or eat the food of the king. So it says there, in the beginning of Perek Aleph Pasuk Hey, Vayman lohem hamelech dvar hayom biyomim yipas bag hamelech umiyein mishtov. Okay. And then it says, in Pasuk Ches, v'yosam Daniel b'alibay asher lo yiskoel b'pas b'gamelech v'yein mishtov. So he says he's not going to eat this. What's he going to? So he wants to eat just zeronim, which are sort of beans. And that's what he's going to get by on. So the person who's in charge of these boys says, if you don't look healthy and robust, I'm going to get my head chopped off. Nebuchadnezzar was not known for his mercy. And he says, you're going to look less healthy than the other boys. It's going to be me who gets in trouble. So he says, give me 10 days. We'll see how it goes. It says, now, I should point out, there is a machlokes showing him what this pas bag hamelech is. Some don't learn it's literally bread. Some, actually, already Rashi seems to indicate that it's not necessarily bread. But a lot of the Rishonim take on it means bread. They wouldn't eat the bread of the king. Says the Rasag, Rav Saadia Gaon, on his in Pasuk Yud Beis, He says, "Ba'osan hayomim shebein Rosh Hashanah liyom Kippur." When were these 10 days? Give us 10 days. Try us out. Give us 10 days. These are the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. And he says he wants to have the schus of the 10 nisyonis that Avraham Avinu triumphed through, rather than the 10 nisyonis that the Klal Yisrael tested HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Midbar and angered him. He wants this to be a schus for him. So he's decided for 10 days not to eat, seemingly according to Rav Zak, not to eat bread. So now we understand there's some precedent. The first time that we saw someone who didn't want to eat bread was just during Takkah, during this Aseis Mei Tshuva. Truth is that the Rav is based on Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, Rav Chia said to Rav, that he suggested to him, if you can't, this was actually a chumrah, he said, we used to be this idea of tumah and tahara. Today we don't, we're all tumei meis, we can't avoid tumah. But he said, if you can't eat chulin batara, that is, you can't eat your food in ritual purity the whole year, so at least one week, try 1 week a year. Now he doesn't say when that week is, but the Avi Ezri, the Ravya says, he has a Kabbalah that this was between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And then he adapts that for nowadays. He says, nowadays, I mean, we're not going to go and have chulin batara. We don't have eat in ritual purity, but he adapts this idea of eating pas Yisrael. So, I don't think we'll have time to go through the whole Gemaras and discuss the Gemara itself is a little bit confusing, because there seems to be that there was a gezeira, there was a decree, a rabbinic decree, not to eat bread of the non-Jew. This was based on the idea of trying to avoid intermarriage. This was after they'd come back, many Yidden had come back from Bavel, and Bavel, they'd seen what happened in terms of intermarriage, and through the end of the second Beis HaMikdash, certainly there were different gezeiros that were made for this reason. So the Gemara seems to imply that possibly the gezeira of Pas at some point was revoked. That's one possibility. Tosfos on Lamed Hay, Amud Beis, Dira Maskel Michlal, gives two suggestions, because Tosfos saw that in Ashkenaz the minhag was not to be machmir for Pas Yisrael pretty much at all. And Tosfos gives two suggestions why. One of the suggestions is that the Gemara itself seems to, it says that it seems that not everyone accepted this decree, not everyone accepted the idea of Pas Yisrael. And Tosfos gives that as a suggestion. In other words, some communities took this on, some communities didn't take this on. And the second suggestion is that although Rabbi Yehuda Nisia, who was the grandson of Rebbe, didn't want to cancel the decree of Pas, in other words, he didn't want to allow everyone just to have regular non-Jewish bread, but a later Beis Din, an unknown later Beis Din, it seems did allow it, and that's why the Ashkenazim nowadays, in his day, in Balei Dezer's day, were not worried about this, and they were not machmir for Pas Yisrael. There is a slight difference between the two answers of Tosfos, but I'm not going to go into that right now. I'm just going to skip ahead. The Mordechai and other Ashkenazi Rishonim, the Mordechai is really the recorder very often of Ashkenazi Minhag in terms of Rishonim. He was killed in 1298 in a massacre. I'm not going to go into the story of the Mordechai now, but he records very often, and it's particularly in this Masechta, it's very interesting. He brings sometimes English Rishonim. For example, he brings from Binyamin of Canterbury, and he brings other interesting Balei HaTosfos that we wouldn't otherwise maybe have heard of. But anyway, he mentions that it was the Minhag Ashkenaz was to allow pas. And it didn't even matter. It didn't have to be from a professional baker. We'll get to that in what's a palta soon. You could go to your non-Jewish neighbor, all in for all intents and purposes, and take his bread. Why? Because the decree, the rabbinic decree, hadn't reached, it seems, these places. And therefore, there wasn't an issa in place to have the pass of the non-Jew. And as I say, that would even include, strictly speaking, the you know, a regular householder. But that's quite quite a claim. So I mean, that's quite a bold claim. The Smuk also brings this down, and other Rishon Ozerua as well. And it seems that that was really the custom in Ashkenaz.
I wasn't sure that the Pavins and everything else were full of Tavos.
Oh, so that's a separate question. According to all opinions, it seems that Chazal will not go there, that you have to worry about the bread having treifas in it. Now, of course, if you know that that there is treifas in it, that goes without saying. I mean, the Ramah talks about stam kleinim ben yoimo. It's interesting. The truth is that the Gemara in Shabbos, Gemara in Kuf Yud Tes, brings a story of I don't remember the Amorim in question, but the Gemara brings the story of one Amorim who came to visit another Amorim, and he gave him bread which was filled with animal fat, and he thought he was being mechabed him, like, oh, it's very nice. And no, he rolled out the red carpet, kind of like this posh bread. And he says, oh, you think we do this for you? We did it covered Shabbos. We didn't do it for you. So the Prima Gadol actually brings this down, that there was a minhag to add animal fat to your bread on Shabbos. And he actually asks a question in Al Pi Halacha. It seems to be a bit difficult because we know you're not supposed to really add milk to bread because the person might not realize, and then he may eat it by mistake with meat, so that's a problem. So there's two ways to get around it. You either make a siman, or you bake small amounts. So it seems maybe for Shabbos Challah, and it's well known, it could be that there's a heter. But for the Gemara's Mashma, they did such a thing. However, even with this Gemara, it seems that it wasn't very common for people to shmir fat. And obviously, kashrus, one always has to be careful for. That's a blanket rule. You always have to be careful. Whatever you put in your mouth, you have to make sure it's kosher. But in terms of a gezeira de rabbanon, the rabbanon, it seems maybe wasn't so common that they made a gezeira on such a thing. I say that because the truth is, quite a number of times in the sugyas of Machalei Akum, we find that things were not included because it wasn't so common. The truth is, just as an example, I'm going a bit off topic, but we find the Mishnah talks about wine of the Goy, and apparently it doesn't include Yain Mavushel. Now, it could be because they made a Gezerah to match whatever went on the Mizbeach, and Yain Mavushel won't go on the Mizbeach. Some say it's just because Yain Mavushel wasn't very common. Another thing that wasn't very common in the time of the Mishnah was beer and whiskey and all these sorts of things. The Gemara then starts to bring this. The Amoraim do talk about Sheikha. And when are you allowed to have Sheikha? Are you allowed to have it in a pub or not? And the Shulchan Aruch talks about that as well. So another place where the English Balei HaTosfos are quite makele on that and allow you to have all sorts of alcoholic beverages that are not wine. So the kashrus in terms of ingredients and possibly the treifas of the oven, that's a separate, that's a isavaheta sugya rather than a machole akum sugya. But so just to mention this, so why was it that they didn't take this on? They didn't take this on. The Mordechai is learning really the first pshat in Tosfos, as are pretty much all the Rishonim, that it never became osur. In other words, this was a gezeira that was so difficult that although normally, I mean today, I don't think anyone would ever, it would never happen, but you know, the Chazal made the takana, and the Jews were spread out in various countries, and it didn't reach those places, and they never began to take this on, so it never became osa, and therefore you don't even need a heta to take it away. Now the truth is that if we look in the Ramah is mashma also that pas really, certainly pas palta, is mutter lekatchila. In other words, even if you had access to Jewish, to lechem, pas Yisrael, it would be okay. I want to read you out an interesting quote from the Levush. The Levush was the Talmud, was the student of the Ramah, and took over as the Rav and the leader of Polish Jewry, certainly after him. He says, "Miu lepashto zos hagzera shall pass b'chol eila rotzus." However, this decree of bread did not spread throughout all these lands. Ve'ein echod mini elef sheniza b'pas shel goy. And there isn't one in 1,000 people who is careful not to take the bread of a non-Jew. We take all types of things, certainly from a baker. Later on, he says, he implies even that when Noeg Heta and Pastor Goyim, and he says that they actually, they were taking even from private individuals, but he says, Kol mi sheyochel yizoybo b'chol ma sheyuchel, v'tova alav bracha. He says, Pas Balabais, you should try and be machme not to take from a private householder, someone who can be machme, you know, tova alav bracha. Now, obviously, I want to explain, I mean, I'm just giving you lots of information, but just to go back to explain. You've got basically three categories. You've got what's called pas akum. Pas akum is the bread that a non-Jewish person bakes. That person is a regular householder. It's not a professional baker. Then you've got what we call pas palta, or pas nachtom, which is a professional baker. Right? Now, the professional baker can be someone in your village. You might live in a village of 20 people. Right? Throughout history, many Yidden lived in villages where there wasn't even a minion to make. I think, if I remember correct, Dan Abramsky grew up in a village. There wasn't a minion to have davening together. You had to go to travel to the big town for that. So there's the pas palta, which is the baker. Now, this baker you might know very well. You might know him on first name, like Chris the baker, yeah, your local friend. You might know him very well, but Lamaisa, the relationship is a buyer and seller. And then you've got the third thing, which is Pas Yisrael, which is bread where there's Jewish involvement. Now, the truth is that in Pas Yisrael itself, there's a huge machlokus. What counts for Pas Yisrael? You look in the Ran's quite machbe about it. There's a difference, according to some Rishonim, whether it's a Jewish bakery and the bread belongs to the Jew, and it's just the non-Jew doing the baking, the kneading, etc., everything up to the baking. Or if it's a non-Jewish bakery altogether, and you go and try and light the fire or something, there seems to be a difference. And I'm going to get to the nafkamina of that possibly soon. But as I say, so they've got three categories: you've got private individual goy, professional baker goy, and Jewish bread. Now, throughout the ages, although the Ramah pretty much allows you, certainly pas palta, to go to your non-Jewish bakery, assuming it's kosher, and to get the bread, throughout the ages we've seen that the Shach and other Achronim are pushing to be machmeh. Now, we understand pas akum, meaning bread in an individual householder, really that is very much what the Gezerah is all about. The Gezerah was, if you're going to be able to eat with your, and again we said, bread was the staple food, it was really the basis of your meal, you're basically going to be able to go around to your non-Jewish neighbor's house and have food with him. So that really is very much the Gezerah. The second Gezerah of Paltem, also, to a certain degree, also is part of the Gezerah. And the Shach brings down, he says, it's better, if possible, to be machmeh like the Sfardi Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch Mechaber, unless you have bread that is. He gives this two heterim, which again these are brought already by the Shulchan Aruch, Beis Yosef, and others. That either the bread is nicer, it's better quality, or it's a type that you can't get in Pas Yisrael, or alternatively, simply you don't have a Jewish baker. And the Levush actually writes that. He says they didn't have Jewish bakers. They didn't have people who owned an oven. Today, our ovens are very different to the way it used to be. And everyone pretty much at home has an oven. Some people have two ovens nowadays. And you can bake bread in those ovens. It used to be that you needed a special oven for bread baking. And you needed to be able, it was large, and you had to stoke it, and you had to get the heat up. It wasn't switch on a switch and the gas comes on, or electricity. It was a whole arbet, it was a whole thing. And you had professional bakers. So the Shach and others, as I say, push for to be machmeh. The truth is that although all throughout the ages you see the Achronim pushing the Yidden to be machmeh for Pas Yisrael, and it never seems to stick. I'll just give you a quick story as an illustration. But I mean, the truth is you can see it in the words of the poskim when they discuss it. And as I say, the reason why it didn't stick wasn't just because people were you know, very lax about it. It was more because it was physically very difficult to be machmir for this, right? I mentioned last time I spoke here, a truv of the Shulz Yaakov about two brothers who inherited the house, and they had to decide who was going to get the oven, and they had to make arrangements, how are you going to share this oven to bake your bread? And that was already a chiddush that they had an oven. But most people didn't have an oven to bake their bread. So there is a story, some of you may know, about the Noda B'Yehuda. Noda B'Yehuda one night was learning in Prague and at home, and he hears some crying from outside the house. So he goes out to see what's going on. It's quite late at night, and there's this boy sitting there, apparently a goyish, a Polish boy, sitting there on the side, crying his eyes out. So he asks him, what's wrong, what's happened? So he explains. He says his father's a baker, and his mother had died, and he'd remarried some old wench who really treated him rather badly, and she used to send him out every day with some baskets of bread that his father baked, and he had to go and sell this bread. And he'd gone out that day, he sold the bread, and somehow on his way home he realized he'd lost the money. And he knows when he gets home, stepmother's going to beat him senseless. And not only that, he hasn't eaten anything at all that day, because he doesn't have any money at all. And the Noda B'Yehuda asks him, how much is the amount? He says, this X and so amount. And the Noda B'Yehuda gives him the money for the bread that he had sold, and also a bit of money to go and buy him something to eat. And that was the kacha yamais. About 30 years later, on Shvi Shel Pesach, he gets a knock at the door late at night. And there's some guy standing there, doesn't recognize him. And he says, I've got to speak to you urgently. Comes in. Okay, what is it? He says, the priest, the galach, the local galach, who's really hated the Jews for many years, finally hatched a plan to kill all the Jews. What's he going to do? He called all the bakers from town, and he instructed them to put poison in the bread. He says, we all know how Yidden, Noch Pesach, the first thing they're queuing up to get their pizza or whatever it was in those days, to get their chametz bread. And he's going to use this opportunity to kill all the Yidden. So I've come to warn you, you'll be clever. Don't mention my name, obviously. And I've come to warn you how to avoid this. And there's different versions of what exactly the Noda B'Yehuda did. But he managed to avert the crisis, managed to avert all you'd been killed. Now, obviously, this only works if the whole of Prague is eating paspalta. It doesn't work if you've got Grzynski's or some other kosher bakery down there. So that goes without saying. And the truth is, you find this again and again and again. As late as the Mishnah Berurah, he says, it seems that many people ate paspalta. He says, at least on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you should be machme to try and have pas Yisrael. Okay, so one of the things I want to mention is now we've changed, we've shifted. Baruch Hashem, most of us, certainly, in terms of Pas Yisrael, we can have Pas Yisrael. Part of that is simply because, Baruch Hashem, we're living in a society where not only Pas Yisrael is available, but we've got a huge range of foods that are available to us. Okay, sometimes at high prices, but Baruch Hashem, kosher food is much easier to get to come by. One of the cases where this becomes questionable is for certain foods where there isn't a Pas Yisrael equivalent. So for many years, as you know, Raivita, I think nowadays there are alternatives, but Raivita was something which there wasn't really a Pas Yisrael equivalent. More recently, you've had things like crumpets and things like that, where they've become available, but they're only Pas Yisrael. So the question is, so during the year we would understand there's more of a heter to have this. The question is, what about not during the year? What about during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva? So the truth is that I think it's safe to say that this point is a machlokas, and I'm just going to briefly outline it. The Minchas Yaakov says, he wants to mudaik it from the Shach, he wants to say that even during Aseret Yemei Teshuva, one should be machmir for this and not have pas palta, even if it's a special type of pas. The truth is, I don't have time to go into all the diukim, but from the Mogen Avraham, it's mashma that the chumrah of Aseret Yemei Teshuva is not more than during the year. He actually says the lashon. He says v'kiblu alein lahach meyoyse b'yud yomim yoyse mimish nizakol hashana. And the Rosh Yisrael there says, he says this point is to say on someone who isn't nizah, someone who's not nizah during the year, then they should be nizah now. But someone who normally is careful to only have Pas Yisrael, so he doesn't need to be more careful now than during the year. And therefore, the Magen Avraham says, for example, if you're out of town, you certainly can eat Pas Palta even as during other says Mitshuva. And the Chara, the same would apply to bread that's nicer. The Beis Yosef brings down from the Ran that the idea of allowing, this is for the Sfardim who were always machmel on this, he says that this is kapas tchukale. When you have something which is a nicer bread, it's called dchukale. It's called a doichek, and therefore you're allowed to eat it. Okay, I'm running out of time, so I'm going to leave pas. One of the places where this comes up is a couple of questions. Is nowadays a lot of people eat gluten-free bread, people are on gluten-free diets, and the question becomes, when you have bread which is not, certainly not wheat, but you have to be careful with gluten-free, sometimes it's oats, because you can get gluten-free oats, so it can be from Chamesh Zaminim. But what's the bracha? What's the bracha? And also, is it called pas? So if it doesn't have oats, or even if it's oats, but the oats are very small amounts, if it's mostly rice or potato or other such things, then we assume it's shahakol probably, and it's also it's not going to din pas. Now there's a difference here. The Ramah says that, and it's also not bishul, assuming that it's not Eila Shulchan Melachim. Now the Shach, certainly I think the Taz as well, they say that automatically, if it's not in the Gzera of Pas, automatically we assume it's not Eila Shulchan Melachim, it's therefore not a problem of Bishulachim either. So you can certainly have any of these gluten-free things without any question. I did have someone call up the office and say, you know, wanted to say maybe not, if you machmir, maybe to check. I personally don't know any of you, but if someone would, I don't think anyone would think that this is considered a chosh of machal. If you went round to someone's house and they offered you a gluten-free something and you're not on a gluten-free diet, I don't think you'd be very happy. It's a little bit tastier than cardboard, but not significantly so. I don't think that's considered machal chosh. Another place where a strange question I got was to do with Cheerios. Why, if Cheerios a din of pus? And I almost had to do a double take to even believe that was I'd be asked this question. Cheerios don't have a form of bread. There's no Terusa Dinama. They're little little rings. They're not what you would think of as bread. More than that, they're steamed and then puffed. So they're not really, they don't go through the melacha of afia. They are sort of, I guess you could say they're baked. But that's not called pas. And the question will then be a bishul. So just quickly going over to bishul. Weetabix, same thing. They're cooked really first. They're mashed into flakes, not flakes, even threads. And they're cooked pretty much for about half an hour or so. And therefore, you can never make a hamotzi. You ate a whole packet load, you would never make a hamotzi. It's always mazonis. So the question then becomes, at the most, it could be bishul. If you say it's chosh. So very quickly, before I run out of time, the questions about bishul. Bishul, which I haven't actually started yet, falls under certain categories. It has to be, as we know, it has to be that it's not edible raw, in its raw state, and also it has to be what's called olah shulchan melachim, which means it has to be choshev. So, I'm not going to go even into all these things. Two different points. Number one, what about snack foods? So the question becomes something like snack foods. Now, one of the modern questions that has come up and is debated a lot is something like crisps. Now, potatoes themselves are a machlokas between the Chachma Sadam and the Orcha Shulchan of whether potatoes are considered poor man's food or nice food. I mean, I think most of us would agree nowadays you have roast potatoes that's considered machal choshev, and certainly various poskim have said that, we should really paskin like the Chochmas Adam be machmeh, although I have seen the Americans being mekel. But crisps are not really eaten as part of a meal. Now, we're going to all the lomdas of, because there is a question about desserts. The Gemara says food has to be lelafes b'mesapas, and not everyone learns that stuff. Even though the Shulchan Aruch, everyone, all the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch bring this down, lelafes b'mesapas, or lepar peres, it should be like a side dish. Question is, what about desserts? Now, it could be that desserts, in terms of, you know, a nice kosher of a dessert that goes on your table, could be that is indeed included in Bishulakum, even though it's not really in the main part of the meal, and the Chochem Sodom and others are machmir for that. But to take a food which really isn't eaten at all as part of a meal, it's really eaten on the go, it's a very much a snack food, L'chaira, that, certainly from the Darkei Tshuva, brings a lot of its mashmah that way, and Rav Kiva Eger from the Michas Yaakov's mashmah that way, that these things are not really included in Bishul. The proof, I think, from this, and I'm a bit worried to start giving people ideas, is things like chocolate and ice cream. I have yet to see that people have said that chocolate and ice cream need to be Bishul Yisrael. Even the most machmir hechsherim, I've not seen it yet. As I say, I don't want to give anyone any ideas. But that's so it seems to be something like that, even though I'm sure everyone would agree chocolate can go on a royal table, especially saying nice chocolate, but that's not included. And unfortunately, it looks like I've run out of time. So,